Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Hayemi Maseches Nida Daf Samach. We begin at the Mishnah, which is on Tes Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. Okay, back to the Isha who discovered a stain on her garment. As we learned many times, the Chachamim allowed to something called a Taliyah. You can attribute, you could link, you can blame the stain on an alternate source of dam and absolve yourself, provided that Taliyah is plausible. Here comes another example. Hishilo chaluka l'nachrus. Rachel had a garment, which she had loaned on Sunday to a guy, took back on Monday and wore it, discovered a stain. Whose stain is it? Adonida. Or she loaned it to a woman who's experiencing dam. She said neither. Harezu toiloba. She's fully allowed to be toilet the stain on those women. Rashi explains, in order to make it clear in this type of case, it has to be attributed to somebody whose status will not be affected. It's not going to be to that person's detriment. It's consistent with their experience. So if the other person's anida, Rachel can say, look, in any case, Tamei, you're presumed to have dam today. It's consistent with your experience, with your status. Let me blame it on you. Likewise, a nachris was always considered tamei. It's a halachically valid taliyah. Gimel nashim shalosha chalak echad. In this case, we have the same garment worn successively by three women. Sunday by Rachel, Monday by Leah, Tuesday by another woman. After which they discovered a stain. Whose stain is it? Or another example, Oshiyashval Safsalecha, they sat on the same bench. They find a stain. Vidim Solabdam, Kulun Tmeyas. They all have to take the blame upon themselves until they can confirm whose dam it is. Now that's if they sat on a wooden bench. Yashval Safshashul Evan, what if it was a stone bench? Oyala Isba Shal Merchatz, or some sort of stone platform in the bathhouse, which is immune to tumah, because stone and it's not makabel tumah. In this case, there's no stain concerns either. Rechem Mitari says that Torah Shahaya, Rechem Yamazi would teach us, it has to be consistent. Koldova Shayna makabel tumah and makabel saman. An item which is not open to be makabel tumah is also not open to accept, to be receptive to the effect of a stain. Let's recall that Minat Torah, a woman has to have her gosh, a personal feeling, sensation, as she experiences the dam. Chacham added, even just discovering a stain makes her a tamei. So since the stain in this case is the starting point of the tumah to the isha, it was only applied to a stain which has status. You see, the dam of an isha has a twofold effect. It's matama the woman as a nida, and also the dam itself conveys tumah to something that it touches. In this case, since the dam sitting on the bench, it's not going to affect the bench, it's a stone bench, so the stain is sort of discounted. In that respect, we discount it completely, and she's unaffected. Amar Rav, back to the beginning of the Mishnah, where you're blaming the stain on a goy. Now, at what point is the goy? Underage, not expected to see dam, of age, expected to see dam, or of age and has already experienced actual dam? Amar Rav, level 3. Benachris, Haroya. We turn to the next topic. Mimai, how do we know? Tumid Anida, says Rav. Look, the Mishnah pairs it up with Anida. We match the two. Manida dechko chazya, just like Anida is certainly experiencing. Afnachas dechko chazya, likewise. The guy that we can blame it on is only one who had experienced them. So according to Rav, coming of age and having potential, that's not enough to blame it on her. Dechko chazya, she has to have actually seen them. She has to have that experience as well. And now, you can attribute the stain to her. Amar Sheshes. Hard to believe that Rav really said this when he was fully focused. Considering Rav's heightened standards of scholarship, it certainly was sort of a unintended remark. Amar Rav Sheshes, Kinai, Meshach Rav. I bet you when Rav was dozing and sleeping, Amar Shmaita, that's when he made this statement. Because I'll prove to you from a brisa that nobody requires level 3. The Sanya Toila Benachris, Tanakama says you can blame the stain on a Goisha woman. It's not enough to have, you know, any Goisha young woman. She has to at least come of age. become an adult, to have potential periods. And that allows us to blame it on her. And even Rav Meir's machmer only requires the age factor, level 2, but now about level 3, age and experience. Right? I feel Rav Meir would come out of Ruy Lirais. Aval Roy La Israel, even he doesn't require level 3. I'm a Rav. Well, hold it. Vitisper, Rav Meir, Chumra, how can you suggest that that's the correct understanding of the Braisa, which will turn out that Rav Meir is being machmer? Contrast to Tanakama suffices with level 1, he requires level 2. Rav Meir Kula, actually, Rav Meir from a different Braisa, we see he's being lenient on this matter. The Sanya, ain't no title of a Nacher. Tanakama says you can't blame the guy on the stain. Rav Meir, totally you could. So Rav Meir is actually being lenient. So how do you explain the first Braisa, which seems to indicate that Rav Meir is being machmer? So now we're going to revise our understanding of the Braisa, which will actually make it consistent with Rav's level 3 requirement. El Tritzachi, Vi Shiroya. Tanakama requires level 3. And that's the understanding of the second Braisa. Tanakama says you can't blame it on the guy unless she's holding at level 3, which is exactly what Rav told us. To which Rav Meir responds with leniency, no, level 2 is enough. Rav Meir, Berui Lerais, Ava Bishen Roy, even though she's not arrived at level 3. Okay, so conclusion, could you blame the stain on a goy? Underage, for sure not. Overage, with experience, for sure, yes. What if it's someone in the middle? She's of age to see, but hadn't yet experienced dam? Tanakama says, no. Rav Meir says, yes. Turn around. Toilet Bishen Meir, Jem Kinega, Jem Bishen Shalom. Next item is Anita. So if she is experiencing dam, and in the thick of things, dam nida, the 7 days, of course you can blame it on her. But let's say she's merely a shemer siyam, which means during the 11 days of ziva, she had one day of sighting, let's say Sunday. Now Monday is so far so good, which is going to count as a clean day. Get her out of ma'a, Sunday's experience. Allows her to be table tonight. Now it is that second day, it's Monday, when this stain was discovered. Can you blame it on her? Technically, she's still Tame, so it's consistent with her status, but you're setting her back a day, because now she's going to have to cancel Monday and start again on Tuesday, hoping for a clean day. You can do that, even though it's B'Shein Shiloh. Or, let's say she had 3 days of Ziva, which requires a 7-day clean count. She's already done her 7 days, but she hadn't yet been Tevel. Fact is, she's still Tamei. You can blame it on her, even though you're setting her back in a big way. That's the first opinion in the Braisa. Lefichach. So the outcome is, Himatukenes, Rachel, the owner of the garment, has been spared, Tumah v'chavertum kolkelos. But that complicates Leah's life. Divrei Reb Shimon Leah. And the reason again is because the fact is Leah is still holding on to her Tumah, even though she's partially out of the woods, and you're going to set her back, but it is consistent with her halachic status of Tumah. Divrei Reb Shimon Leah. Rabbi Yehuda, no way! You have no right to do that. Ain't not totally. You can't blame it on Leah and set her back. Lefichach. And therefore the end result is, if it cannot be attributed to either one conclusively, they both have to reckon for it. Shteim kolkolis, they both presume themselves to be a tamei because of this uncertainty. Now all agree, v'shav and shatol b'shmer shem kenei b'rishin shalom. If it's still Sunday, the day that Leah saw dam, of course you can blame it on her, because today is her day of sighting. It's very consistent with her experience. Or alternatively, v'shav is dam toyer. Let's say it's a woman after birth; she's experiencing the dam of tahara. So blaming the stain on her won't actually have any effect on her whatsoever. So why not blame it on her? Uviv sulosh demet tahir, or newlywed who had not experienced the period ever. So the dam is now attributed to the makkah of the psulim. So again, there's no harm by blaming the stain on her. Okay, so she's a bona fide, neither blame it on her. On the other hand, if she's experiencing dam tahir, no problem. Psulah demet tahir, no problem. Achleikus will be in a case of shmer shem keneged yom on her second day, on which she hadn't yet experienced dam, but she's still tamei. Or if it's counting 7 days before tefillah. Rabbi says you can't blame it on her, whereas Rav Shimon Leal says you could. And lefichach said Rav Shimon Leal, the owner of the garment Rachel is spared, and Leah is tamei. Is there any added point in presenting that conclusion? Lefichach? It sounds a bit redundant. Lefichach, Rav Shimon Leal, lamali, why do you have to conclude with that? I mean, it's pretty elementary. If you say blame it on her, then you're okay, and she's not. Shem the Rebbe, on account of the fact that Rebbe said it, so Yosef said it. Lefichat the Rebbe Lamini. So why did Rebbe have to say it? It's also pretty obvious. If you can't blame it on her, then both have to take the blame. Well, there's room to think. Who says Rachel has to take the blame? Fact is, who says Leah has to take the blame? Fact is, Rachel discovered the stain when it was already back in her possession. So let's assume it's likely that, look, he discovered it under her care. Probably came from her. Either way, the skalkel. But it shouldn't affect Rachel, who wore it yesterday. Kamashma, the point is, yes. Until you can substantiate the actual source, they both have to reckon with it. So in conclusion, can you be Taylor and Anita? Of course. Shemer Hashem can Akdem on her first day? Yes. Dam Toyar? Yes. Basula? Yes. What about Shemer Hashem on her second day? Or when she counted 7 days prior to Tefillah? Subject to Machlekes. Rabbi says you can't blame it on her. The fact is, she has an element of Cheskas Tahara. She's already out of the wood. She hadn't seen Dam for a while. So you can't blame that on her. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel says, the fact is, she's still experiencing her Tumah, still lingering, and it's likely to have come from her. Amar Chizda, in a similar case, we'll have a same Achlekes. Tameh Vitar. A similar case, but on a different matter entirely. Instead of Tumas Nida, we're talking about Tumas Meis. So we have two pathways on the road. One is known to be Tumah free, one has Tumah there. And we have two people who walked on those paths. Tameh Vitar. Reuben is known to be Tameh from before. Vitar, Shem is known to be Tar. And they walked on these two paths. We're not sure who walked on what. Shochel b'shnei shvilin. One of which is Echad is Tar, and one of the pathways is Echad Tami. Question. Can Shimon blame the Tumah on Reuben and say, oh, most likely you walked on the Tami pathway. Bonu l'machlekes. Oh, it links up to the same machlekes. Between Rebbe, Rabban, Shimon Gamliel. So here as well, Rebbe will say, look, you can't blame it on the tummy. And Rav Shmuel says you could. Now Tosis points out that this tummy, Reuven, is already partially out of his woods. He's already middle of counting his 7 days with the Paraduma. So it's similar to the case of the woman on Monday, on the second day of her Shemir Yisrael, who's already started counting, etc. Therefore, Chizda lines it up. Just like over there, we have Machlokes, whether you can blame it on her, here as well. Maskler of Ada. Rav Ada questioned this alignment. Look, Adkan like Amar Rebbe Hasam. I'll tell you why Rebbe, in the case of the stain, does not allow Rachel to blame the stain on Leah on her second day. Elo de Taravai, because both Rachel and Leah are both experiencing a blood-free day. Cheskas Tahara day. Elad Tarvayu Kiada Dininu. They're both on the same plane to a certain extent. So what right do you have to blame it on her? Hacha my nafkal on me. No, but here, the fellow is still in the thick of Tuma. He hasn't really counted his Shiva Nakim. So it doesn't really matter. Meaning it's consistent with his status. Rav Chesda, he responds, no. Saif Savi Tfila Boya. He says it's a good lineup, the two cases, because after all, even the woman on Monday, true, she hadn't seen Dam today, but she's still short tefillah, meaning she's fully tameh. Still, Rebbe insists on not blaming it on her, because once she started the process, you can't set her back. Likewise over here, you can't attribute the tumah to the fellow who's already begun cleansing himself, despite the fact that he's tameh. Itma, Amar Yisrael Chanina, tameh v'tar, afilu tar v'tali. So Rav Yisrael Chanina will actually be aligned with Rav Ada that in this case of the two pathways, all agree, even Rebbe would agree, you can blame it on the tummy. And he elaborates further. He says, tummy v'tar, Reuben is tummy, Shimon is tar, Afilu tar v'tali. And even if you have a fellow who's tar walking alongside a fellow who's not sure whether he's tummy, still he can blame it on him. Shalchu v'shnei shvilin, they walked on these two pathways, echa tummy v'echa tar, right? Toile tummy v'tali. Toyle Tahar, they changed it. Tahar Batali. So the fellow who's Tamei, the fellow who's Tahar, can blame the Tumah. Toyle Tamei Batali. You can take the Tumah, so to speak, and blame it on the fellow who's not sure. V'tor, right? So basically, you have one pathway, which is tummy. Toila, tummy v'tola. You take the tummy pathway. It depends how you word it, but the way it's written, the Gemara, toila toli v'tummy, will take the pathway, which is tummy, and blame it on the fellow who's not sure, and make him confirm his tumma. After all, he was somewhat tummy, so push him over the top. V'tor, and the pathway, which is tummy free, v'tor. Attribute that to the fellow who's tor. In this way, they both maintain their status, the Rakol, according to all opinions. It's not subject to machlekes. All agree you can do so. Okay, so in conclusion, we have a case of Tliya on a woman whose Shemer Shem Kenegdiyim B'Sheni Shelo. So she had Dam on Sunday, and Monday she's hoping for a clean day. Can we attribute the Dam to her today? She's technically Tomei, but she already has a Cheskas Tahara. She hadn't seen Dam today. But she hadn't yet been toivel, so it's sort of somewhere in the middle. Rabbi says we have no right to do that, and therefore both women have to take the blame. What Shmuel says, look, the fact is she's still tummy, blame it on her. We had a similar story with the two pathways, and the question was whether we can line up the stories. According to Rav Chisda, it's a perfect lineup. Same machlokes would apply here as well, according to the other opinions. In this case, all would agree that you can attribute it to the other fellow, versus the previous case by the woman, who is different. According to Rebbe, the fact is, today she has chasas tahara, you have no right to blame it on her. Continues the Gemara. So we speak about Rachel, the owner of the garment, who retrieved it on Monday from Leah, who wore it on Sunday. And now she discovers a stain on this garment that she wore today. Whose is it? Rachel's from today, or Leah's stain from yesterday? So if Leah was a bona fide Nida, etc., of course, blame it on her. What if Leah never really experienced a true flow? She became tummy due to discovering a chasm in the past on her garment. So technically she's tummy, and perhaps that would allow for attribution of this stain to her as well. Or on the other hand, you can say, look, she hasn't really established herself as a established source of dam, because she merely saw a chasm. So who says we can blame this stain on her as well? Boy minei Rabbi Yechanan, he asked Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi, Mao litlis, can we attribute chasm of today, big chasm, to a woman who had merely become tummy due to finding a chasm? Now, Aliba the Rebbe Tiboylach, according to Rebbe's position of before, certainly there's no question you can't blame it on her. Why? Hashta umahosam. Look, in the case of Rebbe, where you're trying to attribute a stain to Leah, who's on day two of her count, right? Now, in that case, in a way, it's stronger because she had seen Dam yesterday. It's just that today she hadn't seen them, but yesterday she had seen a true flow. Still, you say, back off. Certainly, if in that case, the Kochazim Gufa, when she saw personal dam yesterday on Sunday, Amrish, you say, Eino Toilaba, you can't blame it on her, because it's already Monday, she's already partially out of the woods. Ha'achadama Alma, Ka'osi, here, were the other women. At most saw a stain which could have come from herself, there's also a chance it could have come from elsewhere. We're not sure. Okay, we're matami her. But certainly you can't claim that she established herself as a source of dam. Loikoshkin, certainly according to Rebbe, you can't blame the stain on her. Okay, so according to Rebbe, it's a given. The answer is no. The question will apply to the other Shita, who says you can be Toila on a Shemer HaSiyayim on her second day. On the one hand, you can argue the difference. Over there, sure, today she hadn't seen, but yesterday, Sunday, she saw a proper flow, Migufa, That allows us to attribute it to her. But hocha here by the woman who merely saw a stain, the ma'al makasila, could have come from elsewhere, they tell you, can't blame it on her. Oidim alishno, you can say no. As long as it's plausible that this stain came from her. Why? Because fact is, she already has somewhat of a track record. She saw a stain and she became tummy. So it's similar to the case of the Isha on the second day of Shemir HaSiyoim, where although she hasn't seen dam today, but she's already on that track. She has experience from yesterday. That's enough for Itzliya. Omar Leis, he says, the answer to your question is no. Ain't toilet, according to all opinions, you can't. So again, we discovered a stain today. You can't blame it on the woman who's already tummy due to a previous stain. My Tom, you know why? Because she ain't toilet because you can't. And it sounds like a redundancy, but some explain. Pirush Kabbalah, Kach Bnei Adam, that's an established tradition, established halacha. The fact is, the other woman merely had a stain on her record. She's not considered an established source of dam, which only that allows for attribution. Ain't it? Eisvei, he asked him a question, really? We have a braisa which begins sounding very similar. Ein toilin kesem bekesem. We can't blame this kesem on the other woman who had a kesem. The braisa continues to describe how you could link the kesem to the woman with the stain. Hishila chalukin l'nachos. So Rachel had loaned her garment to a goyisha woman. Oy liyoshevas ala kesem. Or to a woman who's already tummy because of a kasim, harezu toila ba, she can be toila on her. So first we have to resolve this seeming contradiction between part one, which says you can't, and part two of the braisa, which says you could. Hogav akash is inherently difficult to understand. Reisha, you began by saying ein toila, amris ein toila, you can't be toila in this case, and seifa amris toila, and in section B you say you could. Hogav akash, for that we're going to answer like this. Ha rebi, it's going to tie up to the previous machlekes. According to Rebbe, who says that it's more difficult to attribute, you know, tliyos to women who are tamei, for instance, in the Shemir HaSiyoim, he says, look, she's not actively seeing dam, you can't blame it on her. Likewise, he will not allow tliya by a kesem, because again, that woman who had a kesem is not an established source of dam, it's not enough for us to attribute today's stain to her. Oh, Rav Shimon Gamliel. Whereas the second part of the Brayas, which indicates you can blame a kesem on a balas hakesem, that's the other shita which says it's easier to make tliyos as long as she has some, you know, linkage to dam, it's enough for a tliyah. Ikadam is another way to resolve. Hava ha Rebbe. Both sections of the Brayas reflect shitas Rebbe. And really, you can be toile in a balas hakesem. Ha barishin shalom. Part one of the braisa speaking that she's a shemer siyum. It's her first. The second part of the braisa which says you can be toile in a balas hakesem. That's on her first day. She just saw the kesem today, so she's actively seeing. It's enough for itli. Ha b'sheni shalom. Whereas the first part of the braisa which says you can't. That's on her second day. On Monday, which she hadn't yet experienced dam, you have no right to link it to her. Rabbi Ashi, Amar, a third explanation. Habha, both sections of the braisa are aligned with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who typically makes it easier to attribute the dam to the other woman. But like Ashi answers like this. Depends what you're trying to do. So again, Rachel had this garment. She loaned it to Leah on Sunday and took it back on Monday and wore it, and then discovered the stain. The two questions, really. Going back in time, what we do, and going forward, what we do. When Isha discovers a stain, which is confirmed to be from herself, she's telling me not only going forward, but also going back, 24 hours, etc. So regarding Sunday, Kalam Afreya, so regarding yesterday, regarding going back in time, certainly we can attribute the Kesem to Leia. Fact is, she was wearing it on Sunday, and Sunday by her was a day of dam, so you're not really complicating matters for her. Kalaba. Whereas the first part of the Braisa, which doesn't allow blaming it on the other woman, that's speaking going forward, from Monday onward. Right? Once Rachel got back the garment, what happens? They're on it, and you can't blame it on Leah, because you're going to be complicating matters for her. You're going to be sending her back by making her a tummy today as well, without any evidence. So here, Rachel must take the blame. Okay, so we resolve the Braisa, which seemed to be contradictory. When do we blame? When do we not blame? Whether it's a difference of Rebbe and Shimon Leo, or Bokolnek Rebbe, depending if it's the first day or the second day, or both going to Shimon Leo. Depends if you're complicating her going forward, or it's just retroactive, in which case she was already tummy on Sunday. Okay, fine. Mekom Kokasha, but in any case, the Braisa seems to teach us that in general, in concept, you can attribute a stain to another woman who merely had a stain on her record, and no more. And that's a kasha on the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Levoi, who says you can't. Taliyah is only on a woman who had an established period. In which case, it's likely that she produced more dam, but merely a balas hakesem, you have no right to blame it on her. Amar Avina, here comes a fourth shot in the Braisa, which will resolve it in a satisfactory manner, in line with that sheet. Amar Avina Kasha. Here comes the Braisa, here comes my explanation. The Braisa means like this. We have to sort of revise our understanding, perhaps the wording. Hishila chaluk l'nachris. We're not speaking about blaming it on a woman who merely had a stain. You found the stain, you want to blame it on another woman. A regular woman. Hishila chaluk l'nachris. She loaned her chaluk to a guy. Kama. Ba'las kasam. So the one who found the stain today will blame this stain on that woman. So we thought that we're blaming it on a woman who had a stain. No, we're blaming it on a regular woman, a guy, or right? It's your stain that you want to blame on her. That's okay. But look back in the Braisa. So you want to blame it on a guy, or on one who is tamei due to discovery of a stain. It sounds like you're blaming it on a person who merely had a stain. Not that you're blaming your stain on a regular woman. The Braisa means like this. So if you loaned it to a woman who's at the birth, who has dam tahara, comma, balas kesem toilaba. So Rachel discovered a kesem on her baggage, can attribute that kesem to the balas dam toyar, who's experiencing a full flow of dam. But in terms of blaming it on a person who merely has a stain to her record, who says you can do that? Rechame concludes the Mishnah by saying, look, a kesem discovered on material which is resistant to tumah, that kesem has no effect. Amar Masna, my time, Rechame, where is he coming from? The Chassid of the Pasuk says, Nix Laurus Teshev, the Stoma of the Churban, that the Gullus, the Churban, or Samidosh, brings us down to the ground, Nix Laurus Teshev. So we learn from here, and of course it's only an asmach that's a hint, because let's realize the whole halacha of ksamim is only the rabbanim. In the Torah you have to have an actual flow to be tamei. So the whole idea of ksamim is the rabbanim. Certainly the guidelines of ksamim, the condition of having it something on something which is mekabel. So it's only the rabbanim. It's just an asmach that's a hint. Kimash yosh la'aretz niksa, once she sits on the ground, she's free of tumah, which means to say that even if you find a stain on the ground is tumah free, and therefore she's unaffected. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Chanina. To what extent do we apply this tumor-resistant, kesem-resistant rule? Mitai hayor mechemi, mechemi would absolve even afilu b'chayor klei cheres. If you find a stain on the back of a klei cheres, she's tor, because the back of a klei cheres is resistant to tumor. In contrast to the inside, which is mekabel tumor, right, by a klei cheres, in contrast to other materials, where it can transmit, it can receive tumor on the inside or the outside by klei cheres, the outside, the back, is resistant. Some explain the klicheres is only it's only value based on its functionality, on its content, on its ability to contain, which is in the inside, rather than the actual value of the material itself, which is not really valuable. So from the outside, it's not the place of use. There's no tumah, there's no usage, there's no function, there's no identity. So likewise, a kesem found there is ineffective. Pshita, well, of course, if it's a place that has no tuma, why would I think it's on the table, perhaps there's room to think ligzor gabay to toiche, we should apply tuma even on the back, concerned that it might get confused with the inside. It's so close. Kamashmo, the answer is no. We stick to our rules. It needs to be on something which is actively mekabel tuma. Amar Abaye, furthermore, let's say you have the right material, but it's small in size, which makes it tuma free. That also qualifies as a tuma free surface. Metayer b'chemia, here b'chemia would be metayer b'metlonius in these little patches. Shein b'hem shalosh hashalot, materials which are less than 3 finger widths by 3 finger widths, which have no ability to mekabel tuma leichazer, which are not fit for use. Leilanim, not for poor people for their patches on their clothing, too small. Leilashirim, certainly not for wealthy. It's tummy free, it's kesem free. Okay, so we have 3 examples of this halacha. One is, let's say, a stone bench discussed in the Mishnah. Next, even a klicheres, which technically is on the tumah track, but since it's on the outside, the outer surface, it's resistant and resists the kesem as well. And the third case is, even if you have the proper material on the right side, but if it's too small, it's lacking in the shiur, which makes it non-functional. That too is kesem resistant. Darash Rav Chia Barav Mas Mishmei, he quoted the Rav Halacha, Kiram Nechemya, that if the kesem discovered on something which is tummy free, it's kesem free. Amalei Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman responded, Abba, you know, my father Tony, he presented a brisa which indicates otherwise. Masa Bo Nechachamim, such an incident was presented to Chachamim, v'timum, and they applied to him, even though it was on a tummy-free surface. V'at Amras, and you're going to say, look, Rav Nechemya? That will Rav Nechemya, typically when it's the multitude against the individual, halachalachik harab, mayi, what's the braisa? The sanya, shtei noshim shayu teichens v'rechaim shal yad. We have 2 women grinding on this hand ground grinder. V'nimtza, they're standing side by side. V'nimtza dam tachas ha-pnimis, and they discovered a stain beneath the inner woman. So we have the grinder, let's say to the left, to the right of which we have a pnimis, the woman that's closest, and to the right of her we have another woman who's a chitzayna a little bit further out. We find a stain on the inside area. Shtein tmeis, they both have to accept tumah upon themselves since we can't really confirm the source. Tachas chitzayna, whereas if you find it beneath the outside one, a chitzayna tmeya, she's only tumah. The pnimis tahor, the inner one is okay. Rashi explains because it is common for the outer one to sort of push away a bit inward. So even though you found the stain on the inside area, it could have come from the outer one. But if you find it on the outside, only she's tummy, but the pnimis, the inner one is tahor. Then time, you find it between shteim tmeis, they're both affected. Hayimas, it was a story. They discovered dam on the lip of the rim of the bath. And on a olive leaf, which is not makabel tuma, right? When they were heating up the oven, uba masa, chacham decided they're tame. Despite the fact that the stain was discovered on an in-ground facility or olish al zayis, these are not materials which have the ability to makabel tuma. Says the Gemara Tanoi, in fact, it's Machlekes Tanoim, in terms of the identity of Rav Nechemya's disputants. So according to the previous Braisa, it would seem like there is a Rabbim, there is a consensus against him. Whereas in the next Braisa, we find that it's just one against one. The son of Rav Yaakov Metami, Rav Nechemya Metari. Rav Yaakov says Tami, Rav Nechemya says Tari. So it's really a Yochad against a Yochad. V'hoiru Chachamim ki Rabbi Nechemya. And the Chachamim paskind, like Rav Nechemya, that in fact the machlokes is only between Rav Nechemya and Rav Yaakov, so it's one against one. And the Chachamim in general did go to Rav Nechemya. Hence, Rav's conclusion that the halacha follows Rav Nechemya as well. Okay, so conclusion. A kesem is metame the isha provided. So if it's sitting on a davar mekabel tuma, certainly. What about any mekabel tuma? It's machlokes. Mechemi says toher, and that is the halacha that Rav Paskin like. It says the Mishnah, shalosh nashim. Shoyushen is mita achas. We have one bed, large bed, and three noshim are sleeping on the bed. Now, it's a long bed, and they're lying along the width of the bed, side by side. There are two ways to get up onto the bed. Okay, so you have a long bed, and they're lying side by side. They could have gone up directly, gone up on the lengthwise side, straight onto their respective positions, or they could have climbed over the narrow side, so each one is sort of climbing over the outer surface. They discover a stain beneath one of these noshim, kulan tameis. They're all presumed to be tame, unless you can substantiate the source of the dam. Let's say one isha performs an examination which confirms that she is tame. So she'll take the blame for all. He tameis, she's considered tame, which stain tameis, the other ones are tar, because they can sort of attribute it to her. But toilois zubizu. Gemara explains this to mean that suppose one of these noshim are presumed to be dam free. She's expecting, she's nursing. We don't anticipate dam. So she can attribute the dam to the other woman. Let's say all three of them are in the same state of life. They're all not known to have dam. They're all expecting though. So then we're back to square one. Ryan Oysan, now we view them as if they're all, yes, potentially nidos. Kilohin Ruiz, as though they are expected to see dam. So in a way, the fact that they're all exempt undoes the exemption, because you can't exempt them all. Right? Because it came from one of them. So until that's confirmed, until we can identify who's who, they're all tame. Omar, Rida, Marav. Let's go to the middle case of the Mishnah, where one woman made a bedikah, discovers dam. We blame the stain on her. Says Rav, provided that's only true that she did a bedikah immediately, in such close proximity to the discovery of that stain, which allows us to link the two. Who provided Shabbat Gatman, she checked herself Bishir vest immediately. A couple of seconds later, without any time to delink the two experiences. So look at Bar Pada. He goes with Bar Pada's opinion. The Amu tells us. He presents the following formula in terms of timing. Kol shebala b'chatas, any situation where if she discovers dam during her examination, and that examination took place so close, immediately after the husband and wife were together, that confirms that she was already tummy when they were together, and the husband has to bring a chatas on account of that experience. So correspondingly, regarding items that she touched in the last couple of seconds, tarei seo tameis, whatever she touched, tarei seo tameis. Because the discovery of dam so close to the experience confirms that in fact that experience was tummy as well. On the other hand, if it was a bit further in time, bala b'ashem tali, if it was a bit later, in which case the husband he has to bring ashem tali just in case they were tummy when they were together. So likewise, tariseh tluis, the items that she had touched in the meantime are sort of in limbo, not sure whether the tummy or tar. But let's say it was further down the road, she checked herself later, in which case her husband's totally absolved. So the taharas that she touched all along are tahar as well. So in the first instance, where it was an immediate bedikah, just like the husband is obligated to bring a chatas, because that confirms that they were tummy when they were together. Likewise, the taharas that she had touched, right? Let's say she touched something, a banana, and second or two later she made a bedikah, she found dam. Just like if there would have been a question of husband and wife chatas, he would bring a chatas, because it's been confirmed retroactively that she was tummy for the last couple of seconds. Likewise, the taharas that he touched prior to discovering the dam are tummy as well. And that explains the halacha in Mishnah, that if Rachel makes a bedikah and discovers dam immediately after discovering the dam on the bed, that confirms that it's her dam and everybody else is off the hook. Rabbi Yeshi Amar says, no. Afilu bala b'chatos tariseat luis. Even a very immediate bedikah, which theoretically would obligate the husband for a chatos, but if it's concerning matters of taharos, we don't know. Why? The fact is, he discovered the dam a few seconds later. Who says the dam was here 5 seconds ago? And it's very different than the question of the husband. Bishlam husband, certainly in the case of the husband was together with her. Amar, we can explain why the dam got a bit delayed, even though it was already there a couple of seconds ago, because physically it was held back. Shamash, the aver of the man, Akvil the dam, held it back from coming out, but it was really there. So of course, he's obligated to a chatas. But here, if she touched a banana and a couple of seconds later she found a dam, what took so long for the dam to come? If it was dam, you know, then 5 seconds back, man ikve, who held it back? And therefore he says you can't confirm that the banana is tame. Rashi says you can apply the standard gzera of meis leis, she's tame with the rabbanon going back, but you can't confirm in Hatorah she's tame. So the halacha now Mishnah only follows the bar pada, that the immediate discovery of dam confirms there was dam all along. Whereas according to Horatio, it's not necessarily so. So even if the woman discovers dam upon herself, doesn't mean that the stain that came a few seconds ago was hers. Rav Yeremia, let me describe this in a mashal. Mashal Rav Yeshia, the mother of Adayim, Rav Yeshia's distinguishing the halacha regarding the husband versus the halacha regarding taharis. What's it comparable to? You have a young man and an older man walking along the road together. And the young man, you know, is keeping pace with the older man. As long as they're on the road, the young man, you know, holds himself back, restricts himself, and keeps the older man company. Once they get into town, and each one goes his separate way, the young man hurries home. So he picks up speed and does his own thing. Likewise over here, the dam would like to come out, but as long as the shamash is there, it's held up, after which it flows out. Another example, mashal Rabbi Yeshua Amar Rabbi Daim, it's analogous to a case, a person inserts his finger into his eye, that holds back the tears, close man, as long as the finger is still there, dimma, the eye tears, shoya lavoi, it stops him from coming. No, once he removes his finger, dimma maris lavoi, his tears come flowing out. So that's all good and well when it comes to the question of the husband. We can assume that the dam was there and being held back temporarily, but in the case of a woman who just merely touched some food and discovered dam a bit later, why would you say the dam was there if you hadn't seen it? There's nothing holding it back. And therefore, we cannot substantiate tumah on the taharis. Okay, so we had halacha in the Mishnah, three women on the mita achas, dam discovered amongst them. They're all presumed to be tameh, unless one is boedek and finds tumah, so she takes the blame. However, that only follows by padas shita, who says if you find the dam so close to the act, we can blame the act on the we can attribute the dam to the act as well. So here that she found dam so soon after discovering the kesem, we can sort of link the two, whereas Rashi says no. Who's to say that it's the same from the same source? But Tozubazu Tanrabonan, what does that mean they blame on each other? Keta Tozubazu Ubra Vishena Ubra. Rachel is expectant. In which case she's not expectant to see dam. Mishen Ubru, you have a non-expectant woman who's anticipated to see dam. She's more likely to see dam. So it's a fair call to blame it on her. Toilo Ubra, the Umu Beres, attributes the dam to the other woman, Mishen Uberes. Another example, Manika, one nursing woman who was not expectant to see dam. Mishen Manika, one who's non-nursing. Toilo Manika, Mishen Manika, the nursing could blame it on the non-nursing. Zaken, the older woman, with a younger woman, toilet zakem shen zakem, the older can blame it on the younger. Basula shen basula, the one who never had dam on a regular woman, and a regular woman, toilet basula shen basula, she can blame it on the other one. Hoy shtein ubrois, let's say they're both in the same privileged status, both mubarois, shtein manikos, shtein zakem, shtein basula, zuish, that's what the Mishnah continues and says, let's say they're all experiencing an exempt status, not expected to see dam, so back to square one. Roy and Kila and Ruiz, we have to view them as ordinary women. They're all Tame, unless we can confirm the actual source of the Daf. Okay, so let's recap the Daf quickly. We have a woman who's being Toile a Kesem, can do so on a nachris, you can do so on a nida. Regarding nida, we had a shayla. If she's underage, you can't. Regarding a nachris, we had a shayla. If she's underage, you can't blame it on her. If she's of age and has experience seeing dam, certainly you can as well. What about that mid stage? She's of age, but she hadn't yet experienced dam. That was machloikis. Tanakama says you can't blame it on her. Rameir says, as long as she's of age, you can attribute the kesem to her. What about a full-fledged nida? Yep. What about Shemeris? What about Isha who has dam toyar now? No problem. What if she's a basula again, who's not going to be affected by this dam? No problem. What about a Shemeris Yoyim? She saw a Sunday, and it's still Sunday. Sure, she's known to have dam today. She's a likely source of dam. Blame it on her. What if it's Shemeris Yoyim on Monday, which she hadn't seen dam anymore? That was a machlekes. Shimon Lil says you can still attribute it to her because she's still within the same context of Tumah. Rabbi says no, the fact is she's not known to have dam today, and therefore you can't use her as an alibi. What about blaming it on a woman who never really had a proper flow, just a kesem? According to Rabbi Loi, the answer is no. What about if one is muberes, one is she'in muberes, etc., then likewise you can blame it on the one who's more likely to see dam? And that takes into discussion about the shalish nashim on the bed. We found the stain, the all tmeyas. Unless one is baidik and discovers herself to be tamish, she takes the blame, which is only aligned with the shita of Rapada. We also had a discussion regarding Mechemiz Halacha, who says that a kesem on something which is tumah free is also considered kesem free. We had three levels of that. We had the entity which is totally tumah free, like a stone bench. We added to that even a klicheres, which technically is susceptible to tumah, but it's on the outside surface is tumah resistant, so it's kesem resistant. And likewise, even something which is full-fledged tumah material, like a piece of material, but if it's too small to facilitate tumah, likewise, it's another example of something which is tumah-free and therefore kesem-free as well. All the best to you and ha'u, hatzlacha rabba.